This morning, Bernie Sanders announced he's suspending his presidential campaign, leaving Joe Biden as a Democrat's candidate. We talked to our political analyst, Neil Milner, yesterday afternoon about a recent study that examined the fear factor, how the uncertainty in these times could affect the election process.
First of all, this is really a disaster in progress, and so there are a whole lot of things that we don't know about how the pandemic will affect the election and when elections will be held. But this is a study that is recently done, well done, that looked at what the impact of what turns out to be anxiety about the coronavirus, how that affects people's votes, particularly how it affects the votes in the Democratic primaries in selected places in regard to the Sanders vote and the Biden vote. And what it showed was, if you control for everything, they looked at counties that matched very closely, except some had no pandemic, no cases yet, and it wasn't much of an issue, and some already had cases. And what difference it makes, and the difference is this, that Sanders' votes get significantly depleted in places where virus has already become an issue, in the counties that already become an issue. All other things being equal, that's the finding. And what they did was to compare his votes in 2016, votes in 2020, and it dropped significantly from what you would expect, from anywhere from 2 to 12%. So what they say is, if you look at everything else, we control for everything else, the difference seems to be that people are very anxious, and when they're anxious, they move away from voting for Sanders, and we'll look at what the reasons are.
So basically they're saying, who is the safer candidate?
Well, that's what it turns out to be, that if you take everything else out of it, the main reason is anxiety, and the anxiety gets manifested in what they call flight from risk. Flight from risk is a term that you find in the literature about how people behave in financial situations where things get dicey and where things get worrisome. They tend to move away from a little bit of chance-taking and more into safe things. And what it appears to be is that flight from risk is also working here, and that Biden has always advertised himself as the candidate about normalcy, gradual change, and so on. And Sanders has been very clear that he wants bigger change. Even though Sanders has been talking about the kinds of bigger change that might appeal to people during these times, more health care, better concern with workers, it appears as if people, when they're scared, when they're worried, will move away from Sanders because of the fact that their anxiety drives them away from what they see as risk-taking.
Right, so he may be looked at as the risky candidate.
He's the risky candidate, that's right, for sure. Now, you have to understand that this is all, you know, this is not about how they assess the candidates per se, right? This is about looking at all of these factors. This is not about people saying that that's what they're doing or that they changed their mind about Sanders. It's not about asking the voters. It's looking at all of this other stuff that seems to show that they moved away from it. So it's called really the flight to safety, the flight from risk to the flight to safety.
And, you know, it is such a time of upheaval for the Democratic Party, because they've had, you know, just all things happen, you know, from state to state from day one.
Well, that's right, and it was finally getting to a point, it appears, where from the standpoint of stability, it was getting to normalcy. That is, before the virus became such a big issue. That is, that the kind of the elites in the party and the voters began to move more toward one candidate. Sanders had very little, he still does, very little chance, maybe as some suggest, 1 in 100 chance of getting the nomination. So they were moving in that direction, and then they began to worry, first of all, about whether there would be a convention at all and how there would be one. And that's still a big issue, because they postponed the July thing. But they were at least reaching a certain kind of stability, and in a sense, this flight to safety. And I'm not saying this because I agree that Biden is the better candidate. That's not what I'm talking about here. But this flight to safety is essentially a cry to normalcy, as seen by the voters, that they just, under these circumstances, trust a candidate like Biden more, not because they have anything personally against Sanders, but because they're less willing to take risks under these circumstances.
And we haven't, you know, heard a lot from Biden.
No, you haven't heard a lot from any of them. I mean, they've been talking. Biden had a conference, private phone call. We knew about the phone call with Trump to talk about the virus the other day. And Sanders, of course, has been talking about health care, that this is an example, he says, of what happens when people are vulnerable in terms of health care. But you're not hearing much about anything right now besides the coronavirus. So there isn't... It's hard to campaign in a situation like this, right? I mean, it's unprecedented, but what do you do? You don't want to stick your neck out by trying to get attention away from the virus. You want to talk about the virus a little bit. And under the circumstances right now, I suppose Biden is in a better position if he doesn't do very much other than trying to act like a statesman.
Right. I mean, he did say he would wear a mask.
Yeah, sure. Well, yes. Oddly enough, of course, the president, who endorsed wearing a mask in a nanosecond afterwards, said, but not for me, because it won't look good in front of kings and queens and other dignitaries. But here is the implication here that's could be important, and that they mention, and that you're beginning, maybe you can see a little bit today when we get some sense of what happened in the Wisconsin primary today. And that's this. What these two, James Bisbee and Dan Honig, who did the study, say, look, here is what you have to start thinking about. How is anxiety going to affect the elections down the road between now and voting down the road between now and November? Are there certain times, certain dates when there would be more anxiety? And they also say that this is going to introduce, if not a different kind of thing, more of a sort of way of influencing people, that, you know, you can have hackers, you could have outside sources trying to influence the election, and do it simply by raising these kinds of fear issues. So they're not, you know, they're careful not to say what's going to happen, but I think that this issue of how anxiety, extreme anxiety, affects people's votes down the road is an interesting one. Wisconsin today, the court wouldn't let them postpone the election, and so you have people waiting in line to vote, and the number of precincts are very small because the poll watchers didn't vote, and they had to use the National Guard. I don't know what the effect is going to be on the Wisconsin primary today, but it's pretty clear that the Republicans in the legislature think that it's going to favor them, and the Democrats wanted the election postponed. So all of this kind of stuff is going to be coming up. There is nothing right now that's definitely certain about this coming election, other than the fact that you're pretty sure who the two main presidential candidates are.
That was a conversation we had yesterday afternoon with our contributing political analyst, Neil Milner, on a regular segment that we call The Long View.